Blog Talk Radio.
Holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
Amen. Praise be to God. Jehovah Salai, which means the Lord my rock. Jehovah Salai, your word says that when the righteous cry out, you hear and deliver them. I praise you because you are my rock when I'm in distress. You are a God of great compassion, mercy, and grace. Your heart overflows with abundant love, a love that shields me when I am in need. You are my rock and my fortress, my strong deliverer. You are high and lifted up on the mountain of peace. Holy are you, Jehovah Salai. As you show your strength to those in need. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am.
Said I'm on my way, and I won't. Said I'm on my way, y'all.
unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever.
Praise somebody. He's worthy of our praise. begin to worship His name today. The angels and the 24 elders and the four living creatures bow before Him, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And we, the children of God, today we say hallelujah to your name, God.
Amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, you woke us up again this morning to see another beautiful sunrise. Thank you for seeing us safely to another week. My family is healthy. My bills are paid. We have food and shelter, and we are thankful and blessed. We praise you in advance for opening doors for all who need jobs, for healing the sick, and for keeping us and our families covered under the shadow of your wings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. I'd like to send out my condolences to the Buchan family on the death of their loved one, Deborah Buchan, mother of Tisha and Jazzy Buchan, and a lot of aunts, uncles, and cousins. We send our gratitude and condolences to each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I will play another selection.
Heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths, Lord, you're greater. He makes clouds rise from the earth, sending lightning with the rain, Lord, you're greater. Greater than all,
Amen. Praise be to God. And now it is time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled Spiritual Issues. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from John chapter 3 verse 6. And it says, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Praise God. Nicodemus went to see Jesus at night because Jesus was considered by many of Nicodemus' peers to be nothing more than a low-class illiterate preacher. But Nicodemus felt compelled because he saw that Jesus had real answers to the other rabbis did not have. So Nicodemus approached Jesus with what he thought was an intellectual inquiry, a question that he hoped Jesus could answer. Jesus, however, perceived that what Nicodemus really needed and wanted was a genuine relationship with God. So Jesus, understanding this could only happen if Nicodemus was born spiritually, addressed the underlying root. We all need to be saved, to be born with a new living spirit that can interact with the Lord. So how does that occur? Understand, salvation isn't gained by doing good, by joining a church, or by being baptized. Rather, you are saved by accepting that Jesus' death on the cross was sufficient to forgive your sin and give you a new spirit that is able to relate to God. Whatever difficulty is on your mind today, it is spiritual at its root. Whether you realize it or not, you need Jesus. Therefore, let him take care of your deepest spiritual need, and the rest will follow. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it is to me. So let us pray. Jesus, even though my issues appear earthly, I know they are spiritual. Help me, Lord. I need you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play a short selection, and then I will come back with a short word from the Lord. Amen.
And answer me. You said, did you lay the earth's foundation? You said, have you command of sky and sea? Lord, I have no words, and I don't deserve
like thunder. You said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said that the Lamb will cover me. Lord, I have no words, and I don't.
Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4, and chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Amen? Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, where it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne, saying, look, God's home is now among his people, and he will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." Amen. Now let's turn over to Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, where it says, "Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nation. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads, and there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen, amen, and amen. All believers look forward to spending eternity in heaven. It's natural then for us to have a healthy curiosity what heaven is like. Understandable, the scriptures are highly symbolic in their descriptions of heaven. This is true because the Bible must use earthly words to describe a celestial place. Most of what the Bible says about heaven must be recognized in its symbolic and figurative setting. The writers, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, were simply using the most exquisite language at their disposal to portray heaven. Some concentrated on those characteristics of heaven that parallel the material and physical nature of heaven, such as the streets of gold, walls of jasper, and the gates of pearl. Heaven is a place where spirit beings dwell. Material things are of no significance there. Thus, the purpose of this study is to emphasize the spiritual nature of heaven and not necessarily its physical properties. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, you know our hearts and are aware of the motivation for our presence here today. Even as you see our sin, we pray you will bless us with a new transfusion of your love, forgiveness, and power. We know you see the amount of our gifts only as it reflects our capability and commitment. We love you and rejoice in the changes you have made in our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. My text for this message is coming from John chapter 14, verse 2 in the NIV, where it says, "My Father's house has many rooms." And the title of this message is, "What the Bible Says About Heaven." Amen. Tonight, my message is divided into three parts. First, number one, the inhabitants of heaven. God is there. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people, Israel, when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 30 in the NIV. Christ is here. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Hebrews 9 and 12, 24 NIV. The Holy Spirit is there. When can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Psalms 139, 7 through 8 in the NIV. The angels are there. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10 in the NIV. God's people are there, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to the thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose name are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of the righteous made perfect, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 to 23 in the NIV. Things are not in heaven. There will be no marriage, thus apparently no family unit relationships as we know them on earth, Matthew 22 and 30. Luke 20 and 36 says there will be no death, no termination of existence and relationship. 1 Corinthians 15:50 tells us there will be no flesh and blood bodies. 1 Corinthians 15:42 and 50 tells us there will be no corruption, that is, nothing will deteriorate or pass away in heaven. There will be no weariness. Part of the curse connected with Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden that was that he would toil to make his bread, which is indicated by the sweat of thy face. Genesis 3, 17 through 19. Heaven's inhabitants will not grow tired. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. There will be no sorrow. Revelation 7 and 17. There will be no pain. Revelation 21 and 4. There will be no night. Revelation 22 and 5. There will be no wicked people. Revelation 22:15. Or end. Matthew 25 and 46. Characteristics of heaven. Heaven is a place of unending joy. Luke chapter 15, verses 7 and 10. Peace, Luke chapter 16, 25. And rest, Revelation 14, 13. Heaven is a place of righteousness. 2 Peter 3 and 13, which along with love is the emanating nature of God. Heaven is a place of reward. Matthew 5, 11 through 12. God will give proper commendation to those who have been faithful to him. Heaven offers opportunity for service. Revelation 7 and 15. It is not a place of barren inactivity. Its inhabitants do not float about on a fleecy white cloud, strumming a harp, as heaven is so often corrugated. God's people receive an inheritance in heaven, 1 Peter 1:3-5, which underscores our sonship and heirship with Christ. Praise be to God. And my conclusion is, because the scriptures gives us this foretaste of heaven, Acts 7:55-56, we should earnestly anticipate our eternal state. 2 Corinthians 5:2-8, realizing that it will be a state of existence far superior to any we could conceive on earth. We should look for the coming of the new heavens and the new earth. 2 Peter 3:12-13, realizing that it will be far better than now. 1 Philippians 1:23-24. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. Amen. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And the next thing you do is to find a good Bible-based church. Amen? Praise God. My benediction is coming from Jude 24:25, where it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And at this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Praise God.
And there is no kind. from a darker place. Bless me in the richest way. New life, new thought, new swag. I know you wish you had. Took me out when you had the chance. But God redeemed me and he gave me a chance to unlock the gates of hell. Your tactics can't prevail. What my God had for me, supersede the enemy.
Again, we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. In the meantime, I'll play another selection while we're waiting.
Forever.
In the evening.
picked a way to go. At the fork of the road, living day by day, so life goes. Come what may, for there's a greater power, and on the right hand of the throne he reigns. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Trying to make tomorrow better than today. Yesterday's rain brings hope for the Sunday. Come what may, for there's a greater power, and on the right hand of the throne he reigns. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Oh.
Again, we're waiting on our speaker for this evening.
Cause all they wanna do is attack. Prepare before making moves. If not, then you're bound to lose. It pays to keep a big mouth shut. Some have lost their lives for talking too much. I give what I can to the helpless. Plus hope and pray that they all get justice. Work brings profit, talk brings poverty. When I'm on the job, don't bother me. It shouldn't hurt to be criticized. If it's constructive, you'll become wise. Your hang up is life's unfair. Have you ever heard of faith and prayer? You can't always have a good day or everything going your way. A story sounds good when it's just one side. Listen to them both before you decide. Wounds from a friend of me, are better than kisses from an enemy, enemy. The wicked finally lose, the right finally wins. Trust in the Lord, respect and fear him. Courage secures when you're facing death. Without courage, there's no hope left. When you're generous, they often ask of you. When you're broke, folks are quick to pass you. Be aware of flattery and charm, cause all they mean to do is harm. An enemy who wants to provide for you is only trying to game and bribe you. Before world peace is felt, we have to find peace with self. The solution isn't even a hard one. Peace only comes from God's Son. Counseling and common sense can all be obtained at a small expense. Just by keeping hearts and minds wide open and taking in the proverbs that was spoken. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song from the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God. Cause every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song from the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God.
Let's ready to start a business, a practice. Yeah, write a book, score a film. Ah, somebody's going to walk out of here and go right into their inheritance. Come on, tell them what it is. Say it's children.
It's yours. It's yours.
Ah.
It's your inheritance.
Wave your hands as you know you're going to go get it.
Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 45, and we're going to read verses 1 through 15. Amen? That's Genesis 45, verses 1 through 15. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. But you can read from any Bible that you're comfortable with. Amen? And it says, Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room. And he said to his attendants, out, all of you. So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. Then he broke down and wept. He wept so loudly the Egyptians could hear him, and word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. Please, come closer, he said to them. So they came closer, and he said again, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourself for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive, to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And he is the one who made me an advisor. To Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace and the governor of all Egypt, now hurry back to my father and tell him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me master over all the land of Egypt. So come down to me immediately. You can live in the region of Goshen, where you can be near me with all your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and everything you own. I will take care of you there, for there are still 5 years of famine ahead of us. Otherwise, you, your household, and all your animals will starve. Then Joseph added, look, you can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that I really am Joseph. Go tell my father of my honor position here in Egypt. Describe for him everything you have seen, and then bring my father here quickly. Weeping with joy, he embraced Benjamin, and Benjamin did the same. Then Joseph kissed each of his brothers and wept over them, and after that, they began talking freely with him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Loving Father, we are thankful for every blessings of life. We thank you for health and strength. We are grateful for meaningful work. And we praise your name for the love of family and friends. We acknowledge that every good and perfect gift comes from you. Forgive us for unfaithful stewardship of our relationship and our possessions. Open our eyes to the needs of others, and especially to those without Christ. We offer these gifts out of our abundance to send the gospel to others. And may the glory of the Lord fill this house of worship today and send us forth with gladness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. Thomas Mann told the story of Joseph in 4 lengthy volumes collectively called Joseph and His Brothers. Indeed, Joseph is one of the most exciting characters in the Bible. He was blessed with natural endowments that gain our admiration. His life was beset with adversity that evokes our sympathy and he exhibit godly qualities that demand our imitation. Now, the biblical writer tells the story of Joseph in 13 chapters, Genesis 37 through 40. The story begins in the land of Canaan. Joseph was his father's favorite son. His brothers became jealous of his privilege, standing, and intended to kill him. Instead, they decided to make a profit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelite merchants. And he soon became a slave in Egypt. His story continues in a mixture of sorrow and happiness, and concludes with a great reunion with his family. Tonight, let's consider the godly qualities of Joseph's life. Amen. Praise God. My text for this message is coming from Genesis chapter 45, verse 8, and it says, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Praise be to God. My title for this message is A Godly Man. So a godly person forgives injustice. Joseph suffered numerous injustices. First, his brothers mistreated him. They put him in a large pit and threatened to leave him to die. But later, they sold him to some slave traders, and these traders in turn sold him to an officer in the Egyptian government. Second, Joseph was treated unfairly by Potiphar's wife. She falsely accused him of an insolent sexual affair. And he was thrown into prison. And third, while Joseph was in prison, he did a favor for the Pharaoh's baker. The baker promised to help bail Joseph out of prison, but later forgot all about him. But Joseph's story contains one injustice after another. Joseph forgave each injustice. Even when Joseph rose to a position of power in the land of Egypt, he did not seek vengeance. Instead, he forgave those who had treated him unfairly. The mercy he showed to his brothers is a prime example of how we should forgive others. In Genesis 45 and 15 tells us, "Moreover, all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him." But the best way to deal with injustice is to overcome evil with good. A godly person withstands adversity. So Joseph knew adversity. Joseph's story is filled with physical and mental hardship. Joseph knew the sting of disappointment. His ambition for the future was stiff when he was sold as a slave. His brothers betrayed him. Potiphar's wife betrayed him. The baker in prison betrayed him. Joseph easily could have grown bitter and resentful after living a prisoner and a slave. This man knew the meaning of hardship. Believers are not exempt from adversity. Study the Bible carefully, and you will discover many accounts of godly people who faced adversity. We must learn to withstand hardship without allowing our spirit to turn sour. Listen to me, my brothers and sisters. We must learn to withstand hardship without allowing our spirits to turn sour. Joseph saw adversity in light of God's plan. Listen to how he viewed his hardship. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. That is what he told his brothers. For God did send me before you to preserve life. God sent him ahead of them so that he knew that the famine was going to last for 7 years. And God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Genesis 45, verse 5, and verses 7 through 8. We need to evaluate hardship from a biblical perspective, realizing that God's plan is bigger than ours. Listen to Paul in Romans 8 and 28 when he says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. A godly person resists temptation. Joseph resisted Potiphar's wife. Another reason we can consider Joseph a godly man is that he resisted temptation. As the manager of Potiphar's household, he had great authority. He was a handsome man, and Potiphar's wife was attracted to him. Several times she tried to seduce him, but he refused her appeals. Temptation is a part of life. Satan continually seeks to lure us from the straight and narrow path. We must turn to God for strength to defend against Satan's enticements. The only way we can resist temptation is by having God's power within to say no. Absolutely not. Joseph resisted the woman's appeal for several reasons. First, he had respect for Potiphar, but he refused a and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. So there is none greater in this house than I. Genesis 39, 8 through 9. And second, Joseph had a great sense of responsibility to God. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? In verse 9. And third, Joseph had respect for himself as well as for Potiphar's wife. He knew the destructive consequences of an illicit sexual affair. Illicit means immoral. And he wanted to be able to live with himself. He had the resources to resist temptation. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So, Joseph let Judah go on and heard all he had to say. He found his brethren humbled for their sins, mindful of himself, for Judah had mentioned him twice in his speech, respectful to their father and very tender of their brother Benjamin. Now they were ripe for the comfort he designed by making himself known. Joseph ordered all his attendants to withdraw. Thus Christ makes himself and his loving kindness known to his people out of the sight and the hearing of the world. Joseph shed tears of tenderness and strong affection. And with these threw off that artistry with which he had hitherto behaved his brothers, the hatred that he had no more. This represents the divine compassion toward returning penitence. I am Joseph, he said, your brother. This would humble them yet more for their sin in selling him, but would encourage them to hope for kind treatment. Thus, when Christ would convince Paul, he said, I am Jesus. And when he would comfort his disciples, he said, it is I. Be not afraid. When Christ manifests himself to his people, he encouraged them to draw near to him with a true heart. Joseph does so and shows them that whatever they thought to do against him, God had brought good out of it. Sinners must grieve and be angry with themselves for their sins, though God brings good out of it. For that is no thanks to them. The agreement between all this and the case of a sinner on Christ manifesting himself to his soul is very stricken. He does not, on this account, think sin a less but a greater evil, and yet he is so armed against despair as even to rejoice in what God had wrought, while he trembles in thinking of dangers and destruction from which he has escaped. Joseph promised to take care of his father and all the family. It is the duty of children. If the if the necessity of their parents at any time requires it, to support and supply them to the utmost of their ability. That is our job, to take care of our parents in their old age. This is showing piety at home. 1 Timothy 5 and 4. After Joseph had embraced Benjamin, he caressed them all, and then his brethren talked with him freely of all the affairs of their father's house. After the tokens of true reconciliation with the Lord Jesus, sweet communion with him follows. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say, would you like someone to say about you, he sure is a godly man, or she sure is a godly woman? Well, you have a good model. Joseph's life is an excellent example for you and for me. If you seek to illuminate his godly qualities, you will know how to be a good person. But greater than following Joseph's example is having a relationship with Joseph's God. If you open your life to God, you will have the resources to be a godly person. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you, as it is always to me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned. Amen.
I know that I have sinned
and fallen short of your grace and mercy.
And fallen short of your grace and mercy.
Lord, please have mercy on me.
Please have mercy on me.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
Save me.
Save me.
Deliver me.
Deliver me.
And set me free from all that hinders and binds me.
And set me free from all that hinders and binds me.
Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again.
Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again.
I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ,
I believe your Son, Jesus Christ,
died for my sins.
Died for my sins.
Was resurrected from the dead.
Was resurrected from the dead.
Is alive.
Is alive.
And hears my prayer.
And here's my prayer.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Become the Lord of my life.
Become the Lord of my life.
To rule and reign in my heart from this day forward.
To rule and reign in my heart from this day forward.
I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you.
I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you.
And to do your will for the rest of my life.
And to do your will for the rest of my life.
In Jesus' name, I pray.
In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And my benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion, both now and forevermore." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So how are you this evening?
You talking to me, Evangelist?
Yes.
Oh, I'm just, you know, all wrapped up, tied up in Jesus right now.
Amen.
After that prayer. You know, when you start speaking about Jesus in this prayer,
mm-hmm.
I was visualizing a tree. Was there someone like a small man climbing a tree? Was that around the time when Jesus was coming in, and they were saying Hosanna, Hosanna?
Yeah, that was what's his name? I see him.
I see him
in my eyes. I could see him, visualize him, but his name.
I don't know the name, but it was a small guy.
He was very short, right. So he couldn't see Jesus passing. So he climbed it. I think it was a sycamore tree or something.
I just want to know if that was the time of Jesus riding on the donkey. Because, visualizing this, but I need God to put the pieces together for me.
No, that wasn't the time when he was riding on the donkey. That was when he was going to Gaius's house. Does remember when he told him to come down from the tree that he was going to have dinner at his house? I think he was going to Jerusalem. I would have to go back to the story to really say.
All right. But let me ask you, too. When Mary went to visit Elizabeth, were they both pregnant at the same time?
Yes. Elizabeth was already 6 months, and Mary was like 3 months, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. You remember.
When Elizabeth greeted Mary, the baby in her womb jumped.
But they both jumped, right?
Yeah.
The both of the babies jumped in the spirit in the womb.
Yes.
But when did Mary jump?
Mary,
I know Mary.
Elizabeth's baby.
Hmm?
Yeah.
I know Elizabeth's baby jumped. Yeah. That was John.
But Mary,
he jumped
Mary
in the womb.
That far gone, so her baby didn't jump. It could have flirted.
Oh.
We don't know. Because it didn't say.
Okay, but what wasn't there a time in the womb where he was like moving or something, or jumping, or
Yeah, I think that's the only time they mentioned him jumping in the womb was when Mary and Elizabeth greeted one another.
So they both jumped at the same time. The babies both jumped in the womb at the same time, like they was greeting each other, right? I know that when John was like, he's coming, and he's better than me. He's great. He's like, I can't touch his shoe. So, I know that.
That part is further down in the story. In the beginning, the angel came to Mary and told her that she was going to carry Christ, but then she told her that her cousin Elizabeth is also pregnant. So John was the one to come before Jesus to spread the good news and to let the people know and to be baptized. And he was baptizing with the water. But he said that there was one coming after me that will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So that's when John baptized Jesus, then the heavens opened and the dove landed down on Jesus, and he said that, behold, the Lamb, what he said, behold the Lamb or behold the Savior. For the Messiah.
God, when the heavens opened, Christ?
John the Baptist.
Oh, behold the Lamb of God?
Yeah, when he baptized Jesus, remember when John baptized Jesus in the river?
And God spoke. He said, this is my son, my beloved son, whom I love.
Right, whom I am well pleased.
What? Are you saying John, this person that this is the Lamb of God too?
Yeah. When he was saying when he told his disciples to follow Jesus, because he is their master now, or leader. Yeah.
Mhm.
But like I said, I would have to go back to, you know, to the storyline, because, you know, you don't want to say untruth
the different stages in life. Sometimes it feels like you're being born again. You got to go through a whole different stage in life, in middle age and old age. You know, it's like you're being born again.
Exactly. Just like Joseph. When Joseph was, his brothers, they treated him so badly, and they threw him in the pit to kill him. But instead of them killing him, they sold him to the traders, and that's how he ended up in Egypt. Because
that sibling love kindled when they all got together, and was somebody. He survived, and he let them survive too.
Yeah, exactly. Because otherwise, if God did not send Joseph to Egypt, and, you know, save up all the grain and everything, then the race of Joseph's father?
Abraham, right? Isn't it Abraham? He had 12 sons.
Yeah.
Jacob.
Jacob was Joseph's father. So if, in order to save the race of Jacob, God allowed Joseph's brothers and them to throw him down in the pit and pull him out the next day.
He really loved Jacob.
Because why? You know why he loved Jacob and Benjamin?
Because of his mother. He loved his mother.
Yes, Rachel. Because of Rachel. He loved Joseph.
And then Rachel gave him Benjamin too. He loved Benjamin too.
Yes, he did. But Joseph was, out of all of his sons, his favorite, because he was the firstborn of Rachel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, parents are they're not perfect. They do favor. You know. They love us all.
We're supposed to treat all of our children the same. We're not supposed to
I'm not the one to treat us all the same.
Right, but sometimes,
you know, as he grew older, she couldn't help and favoritism. I guess, you know, because, like, she could not identify more with one than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she could identify with my older sister. She was very proud of my baby sister. She built the house from scratch and sent the girls to college, and she married early and all that. So, you know, you could see, I could understand her feelings.
Okay.
But being, hold on a second.
No, I have to close out now. I'm getting ready to close out. So I want to thank everyone for showing up in the spirit.
Yes.
I want to thank 704-724. God bless you, and thank you for showing up in the spirit to hear the word of God. And I pray and hope that you come back tomorrow night when Pastor Kathy will be preaching a wonderful word from the Lord. Amen. And so at this time, I thank each and every one of you. We love you. We thank you. And God bless each and every one of you. Watch over you tonight as you sleep and give you his grace and mercy to wake up to see another day.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. And so on that, we are going to leave out on Heaven's Doors. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Shalom.
my sins. I repent for my sins, and I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Let your Holy Spirit abide in me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me. As I once again follow you, I thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Yes, Lord. I repent of my sins. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Where is that break? Here we go.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.